Today on NFL Fantasy Live, weather in Buffalo means we've got double the fun on Monday night. Bills, Jets, Ravens, Saints, all in action tonight. We'll give you a full Monday preview coming up. Plus, week 12 has been the week of the running backs in fantasy football. We'll break down their efforts and talk about all your top performers from Sunday. And we've got your weekly recap of the fantasy scores. That helped no one! I tried to do it in my Molly voice there. See who stole away points from your fantasy team as NFL Fantasy Live starts now. Welcome to NFL Fantasy Live, presented by Bose, the official fantasy football show of the NFL. James Go here with Michael Fabiano, Adam Rank on the far side, and the best teeth in the business.
Thank you very much. Akbar, I appreciate that. I have a very good dentist, too.
Deion Sanders disagrees.
Molly Karam's going to be joining us later on in the show. Before we get to everything, though, some congratulations need to be made, eh, Fabs?
That's right. My friend Nikki Bella, who is in the NFL Celebrity League, won the Divas title last night at Survivor Series, so congratulations,
that's that
Nikki.
WWE
good job.
League, yeah.
You've met Nikki.
Yeah. WWE.
A lot of fun.
There you go.
Giving out no other spoilers.
No spoilers.
I was very good on Twitter by not spoiling the big spoiling thing that could have been.
Listen, let's start with our top fantasy headlines for Monday, though. And we begin in Cleveland, which remains the center of the sports universe
it
somehow.
Does?
It really? Does. Yeah, LeBron James,
Cleveland rocks.
Wide receiver Josh Gordon made his return from suspension Sunday against the Falcons. 8 catches, 120 yards in his debut. No touchdowns, but about in line with, I think, what you gentlemen were expecting. Am I right in saying that?
No, because I thought he was going to come out and break the single-game record with 337 yards. And seriously, Josh Gordon, what gives? No touchdowns?
You know, I was very happy. I was very happy for Josh Gordon. They went to him often. You know,
they took deep shots
at Josh Gordon. Never mind the 20-30 play count that they were speculating. Josh Gordon is a vertical threat, and they're going to continue to utilize him. They're fighting to stay alive in that division and continue to win out.
And this is why we told people for weeks and weeks and weeks to pick him up, because how often do you pick up an elite player off the waiver wire? Now you've got a number one going through the playoffs.
A number one that's sitting on your bench, Fabs.
I still blew this guy out, though.
There you go.
I did.
Wow. Less encouraging news about Arizona's lead wideout, Larry Fitzgerald. Smack talk is powerful today.
Of course.
All right, Fitz was a late scratch in Seattle and did not suit up due to his MCL sprain. Head coach Bruce Arians said after the game, Fitzgerald could not run. Are you pushing the panic button on Fitz if you own him in fantasy?
No.
I was going to say mine doesn't work because I've been pushing it all season.
No, you know, I'm not, because there's one thing I do know about Larry Fitzgerald, and I know him very well, is that he's going to go out there, he's going to do the rehabs. He doesn't get injured often. I mean, if you know Larry Fitzgerald, I mean, he's a big body guy. He heals fast, so he'll be fine.
It's surprising to me that he was even listed as quick. I mean, an MCL sprain to me, I thought he was going to be out 2 games minimum. So I was surprised to hear that he was going to try to give it a go. But as you mentioned,
to me, Larry Fitzgerald.
That's right. High level of panic is setting in if you have Larry Fitzgerald.
Let it sit in, but you're not going to press the button, though. I can tell you that much.
Oh, I'm pressing it, buddy. I'm pressing it.
In Houston, the possible quarterback of the future, Ryan Mallett, will not be the quarterback of the present, because NFL media insider Ian Rappaport reports Mallett has a torn right pectoral muscle and will miss the rest of the season.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's tough to see.
See, this is what happens when you sign Ryan Fitzpatrick, because he's going to be your starting quarterback regardless if you want him to be or not. Now Mallett out for the year, the Amish rifle, back on the fantasy radar. Kind of.
Yeah, all right, there you go. All right, let's get to your Sunday's top performers right now and take a look at your top 10 fantasy performers from yesterday's games. Peyton Manning right at the top of the list. Demaryius Thomas, he almost hit my bold prediction of 120 yards and 3 touchdowns. Did get those 3 scores. But Tony Romo, how about it? 4 touchdowns. Bumping his fist is Michael Fabiano, but 4 touchdowns for Tony Romo. A very impressive performance for him. And Isaiah Crowell rounding out your top 10. How about Odell Beckham Jr., though, Adam Rank? Catch of the year for sure yesterday.
You know what? He's coming on strong. And for somebody who wasn't really fantasy relevant for the first couple of weeks, for those of us who held on to him and just stayed true to him, it is starting to pay off in a lot. And it goes to show that this guy, when he was coming out of LSU, a lot of people, when they looked at
That's
his
awesome.
Measurables, They thought that he was the best receiver coming into the draft. The Giants certainly thought so. If you've been watching the series Finding Giants, you see the process that went into finding him because they took him over Kelvin Benjamin and some other guys. So he's been the number one guy, and he's shown one.
The crow has to eat. Feed the crow.
Isaiah Crowell.
If you watched NFL Fantasy Live yesterday, we were all about the crow.
Yes.
We were feeding people crow. Does that make any sense?
No, probably the opposite because we got it right.
Exactly. Right. But the fact here is that, at least for now, he is the running back to own there in Cleveland until things change and it's Terrence West. But right now, he is on fire. He has 7 touchdowns this year.
Yeah.
And Isaiah Crowell needs to be owned in
all
leagues.
Get off, son!
Get in there!
Love it.
Atlanta's run defense, they stink, too.
Akbar, my boy out of Cal, C.J. Anderson.
First off,
stop giving college shout-out, okay?
What?
Because my boy's on the team, Ronnie Hillman. He went to San Diego State.
Yeah,
but
where
let me tell you, son?
Having
talked to Ronnie Hillman, I'll tell you this. Here's the secret to this Denver Broncos running back situation. First off, big props to C.J. Anderson.
Sure.
He handled his business like he's been doing the last couple of weeks. But whoever is the starting running back for the Denver Broncos, that's the guy you're going to put on your team. So
great
if you're, you know, got this situation going, who should I put? If Ronnie Hill is playing, play him. C.J. Anderson, play C.J. Anderson.
You know what? He looks so good in that offense.
He did.
We go to Green Bay, the University of Alabama product. Eddie Lacy.
Do you remember earlier this year, everyone was all freaked out about Eddie Lacy. He's not scoring touchdowns. It cost me a first-round pick, and he's been awful. Eat those words, friends, because lately he has been one of the best running backs in fantasy football. 5 touchdowns in his last 3 games, and 3 of those have been as a receiver.
Watch this. I can hear the
Look
Mario song. I can hear the Mario song.
Ding, 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 ding. He's in. All he does is produce fantasy points, and he plays the New England Patriots coming up. And we know their run defense is not good.
By the way, if Eddie Lacy could play the Vikings every week, he'd be a Hall of Famer. I mean, seriously, it's ridiculous what he does.
He's good against a lot of teams.
Okay. All right, coming up, GTL, bro. GTL. Giants and Tom Landry's team. You like that one? The Cowboys and Giants put on a show in Jersey yesterday. We'll talk more Beckham and the rest of the fantasy fallout from Sunday night as well. Plus, we're off to Detroit for the first of 2 Monday night game previews. Everything you need to know about Buffalo's and New York's unusual game in Michigan coming up next.
Oh.
Ralph Wilson Stadium, buried in snow, over 4 feet of snow at Orchard Park. The National Weather Service, by the way, forecasting another 2 feet.
There is not going to be a game in Buffalo on Sunday.
I just wait. You know, where are we going? Okay, got it.
It's official. We now know the Bills and Jets will play at Detroit's cornfield on Monday nights, and they're going to use snowmobiles to rescue as many players as possible. This is unreal.
I've never been in this type of situation before.
Wow, quite the ordeal for the Bills. Snowed in most of the week, as we know. Barely able to get to Detroit after the stadium was deemed not ready to host an NFL game. It's been crazy, affecting their practice, their schedule. How much, as a former player, Akbar, will this week potentially affect this team?
Well, I will say this. Every single player to a man in that locker room was excited that they had to miss practice. And I'll tell you what, it's kind of like a kid who knows on a rainy day they don't have to go to practice or go to school. It's that feeling. But we are a creature of habits, and so whenever you disturb the force and that routine that we have, all of a sudden, you know, that kind of throws you out of whack. And you'll see that show up on this Monday game because players just, we like the certain travel times. We like the certain things that we do on time. So you're going to see that show up in the Buffalo Bills, either offense or defense.
Before we move on, I just want to let you guys know I would come save you in a snowmobile if that
that's
ever happened
nice,
out here.
That was good. That's the ride right there.
In L.A., Fred Jackson, though, really creating magic. This was a very cute father moment. He recreated Frozen in his bathtub, brought snow in for his daughters. It was all over the internet. It was hysterical. Can he create magic tonight?
You know, just for that
reason.
I would do that for sure. Anybody who does that, goes out and makes their own internet meme, of course, will get a spotting start on my bench. Of course, this matchup is, keep singing, this matchup will be a little bit tougher for you, for him, because as you see, 1 touchdown in 11 career games against the Jets. And if you look at his totals against this team over the last couple of years, they're not very good. And so he's somebody that at this point, you're pot committed with him. You're either starting him or you're not. So I'll try to be as happy as possible and just say that he's going to be a big part of the offense. They're going to give him his chances to go out there and give him points. But next week he plays the Browns. So good times are coming soon.
Good. I'd recreate Frozen for you guys as well.
Thank you.
Fab, Sammy Watkins is in the Rookie of the Year conversation, and he has a really juicy matchup against the Jets this week.
He does, and what an advantage,
tonight.
Right? He goes from playing at the ice planet Hoth, right,
uh-huh.
to indoors, 70-degree yeah. weather for the Detroit Lions mm-hmm. home field. And the last time he played the Jets, he had over 20 fantasy points. So this doesn't only help Sammy, but it also helps all the wide receivers to not have to play in those terrible conditions in Buffalo.
No question. All right, let's take a look here at your projections. Let's talk numbers, gentlemen, and see what you're giving up here. Take us through this.
Well, we all like Sammy Watkins, that's for sure. Akbar likes him a little bit more than me and Adam, though.
You know what? I need more points from Sammy Watkins, so if I can go ahead and double that. And then Fred Jackson, like I said, I'm just trying to be happy and optimistic mm-hmm. for Fred Jackson people who are already starting one way or the other. And then Chips.
Clearly, we
are. I mean, Kyle
I can see the Buffalo Bills taking a shot real early, getting Sammy Watkins going early,
oh, yeah.
getting him going, and
yeah.
then boom, he's on the board.
He could have a huge game potentially. All right, let's switch over to the other side of the ball now. Not a ton of great fantasy options here with this Jets team, but what do you think about Chris Ivory, Akbar?
I'm not a fan. Now, I know in the last game that they played, he had 2 touchdowns, 43 yards, but this is a very good defense, and we saw that against the Miami Dolphins. You've seen it all throughout this season. This defensive front can be very stingy. Now, all of a sudden, they're playing in a controlled temperature, a controlled environment. They're playing indoors. I think you're going to see the speed of this defense. You're going to see the guys shedding blockers, being able to get up front. Now, Chris Ivory, you could make the argument this may be the game for Chris Ivory, but they don't have enough weapons on the outside to really become a legitimate threat. If there's going to be one guy on this team that can probably make a difference, it could be Michael Vick. But outside of that, I don't see Chris Ivory doing anything.
Yeah, this Bills run defense, very good. You know who's been even better in fantasy, though? The secondary here, shutting down these wide receivers. Fab's Percy Harvin, 0 receiving TDs on 2 of the last 3 the Bills have allowed.
He hasn't been a great fantasy player this year. There's no doubt about it. The good news is that he's seeing more touches as a member of the Jets than he did as a member of the Seattle Seahawks. In fact, 28 touches in 3 games with the men in green, 33 in 5 games with Seattle. Buffalo has allowed the second fewest fantasy points to wide receivers over the last 4 weeks, so there's a little bit of risk here, clearly. But, again, having this game in Detroit indoors will definitely help his value. I say he's a number 3 wide receiver.
All right, and you're looking pretty even here when I take a look at Michael Vick and Chris Ivory, Percy Harvin. Nothing too crazy.
Not a lot of points.
10 points for Chris Ivory.
You know what could be the great play in this game?
What's that?
Other than Sammy Watkins? Buffalo defense.
Yes.
Yeah.
No question.
Buffalo defense.
They're very good. So we get a bonus tonight. We have 2 Monday night games. So to watch this game, check it out tonight at midnight Eastern right here on NFL Network. Still to come, it's almost the end of the regular season in fantasy, so it's time to get your yearbooks ready. Find out who won our fantasy superlatives and what they mean for your playoff run. Plus, Bengals running back Jeremy Hill joins us live. There he is. What's up, Jeremy? We'll ask the star rookie about his early success in Cincy and his college teammate Odell Beckham's ridiculous catch. Stick around.
That boy looks
Welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live. I'm Michael Fabiano, and I'm pleased to be joined by Cincinnati Bengals running back and fantasy star Jeremy Hill. Thanks for joining the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're having a great rookie season, Jeremy. Right now, 2nd in rushing touchdowns among rookie running backs, 1st in yards. Talk about how you've made the transition so smoothly from college to the pros.
Yeah, I think it's really just been my coaches and my teammates and my offensive line. They've done a great job blocking for me in their shoes on the outside. We have guys like A.J. Green on the outside getting a lot of attention from double teams and safeties. I'm running against a lot of 7-man boxes, and it's fairly simple. It really, when the offensive line blocks everyone, I can just do my things one-on-one against safeties and things of that nature. So if we can continue with this formula, I think we're going to be pretty successful this season.
Giovanni Bernard entered the NFL last year as a rookie. What have you learned from him this season?
I think everything I've learned from Gio is just coming to work every day and just be ready to work hard. I think, you know, he sets the tone in practice every day, and I think that really correlates on game day, because everything we do in practice, it really translates. And we run hard every day, and we do a great job of spelling each other. Anytime one of us gets tired or get nicked up a little bit, we go in there and we spell each other, and the offense picks up right where we left off. So I'm going to continue to lean on Gio. He's going to continue to lean on me. We're going to be a pretty good duo going down this final stretch.
Now, being in a backfield committee, do you guys know going into games how many touches you're going to see, or does it kind of depend on what's going on in the game?
I think it depends on what's going on in the game, what kind of what guy kind of gets hot, what kind of guy has a better feel for it. And I think Hugh Jackson does a great job of that. He does a great job mixing up the plays and, you know, getting Gio in space and getting me downhill and just making sure, you know, our offense is going. And we do a great job helping Andy out as far as pass protection and things of that nature, too. So anytime we can do those things, we can definitely help this team.
You were a teammate of Odell Beckham in college. Did you see the catch he made last night?
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah, I talked to him after the game about it, too.
So are you surprised at all at the impact he's made at the pro level so far this year?
Not at all, man. Not at all. He if anyone paid attention to his college career, he's been doing those things since college and really since high school, man. He's just a freak of nature. Just probably one of the most freakish athletes I've seen. And I was there with him pre-draft when he was just doing between-the-leg dunks and windmills and all that kind of crazy stuff. So I know what type of athlete he is, and I'm glad he can really showcase his skill out there on Sundays and just be a playmaker like we all know he's capable of doing.
You have an elite wide receiver in your offense in A.J. Green. Talk about how defenses have to cover him and how that helps you as a running back.
Yeah, most definitely. I think, you know, when we miss A.J., you could feel it. And when he got back, he made an instant impact. You know, he's just such a freakish athlete, similar to Odell in that way. And he just demands double coverage anytime. Anytime you play single on A.J., he's going to make plays and make corners miss. And he's just a very dangerous threat, man. And he's a deep threat as well. So anytime, you know, you have A.J. out there, you know he's going to make a huge difference out there on the field.
Now, before we went on here, we were talking about how you used to play fantasy football. You don't now, but Mohamed Sanu plays fantasy football, and you're on his team. Talk about what you guys talk about in the locker room about you being on Mohamed's team.
Yeah, most definitely. I think, you know, we joke about it all the time because just the stuff we get from the fans on Twitter and things of that nature. And I'm always messing with AJ, like, hey, AJ, yeah, I need fantasy points too, even though I don't have a fantasy team. Just messing with them. And Mo does a good job of doing it too. So, you know, we have fun with them. I haven't asked Mo how's this team been doing, but I'll probably do that after this.
Now, does Mohamed Sanu talk to Andy Dalton and say, hey, I need some fantasy points. Can you throw the ball over to Jeremy Hill a little bit, give him the ball a little bit more?
Yeah, actually, Andy's his quarterback, too, so that's pretty cool deal. Yeah, he starts himself and he starts me, and Andy's a quarterback, so that's pretty cool.
So talk about Andy Dalton and his impact on this offense and on this team this year.
Yeah, I think, you know, Andy's been a great leader for us. I think, you know, the biggest leap, even though I wasn't here last year, from what I've been hearing in the locker room and what I've seen, just his leadership and him being vocal and just getting us where we need to be and him getting us in the right plays on the field. I think that goes unnoticed. Everyone sees Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and those quarterbacks doing it, but Andy does a great job getting us in the right protection, getting us, you know, the right backers picked up and blitz and things of that nature. And that's the stuff that goes unnoticed that he does on a week-in and week-out basis, and we definitely going to need him going down this stretch. And he's our leader, and we're going to need him to make big throws and continue to get us where we need to be.
Great stuff, continued success, and thank you for joining us here on NFL Fantasy Live, Jeremy.
And thanks for having me.
All right, great stuff from Jeremy Hill there. We showed you Sunday's top 10 performers earlier in the show, so now here are the next 10 of Sunday's best. You saw Dez Bryant there. By the way, a lot of really high scores going out there when Dez Bryant with his two touchdowns at 20 points is number 11. Aaron Rodgers had a nice solid day as well. Very surprising. LeGarrette Blount, almost 20 points as well. Zach Mettenberger.
It wasn't all that surprising, but yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
but
no,
I say the thing with LeGarrette Blount is that Bill Belichick has become predictable in his unpredictability to where you knew.
So that's predictable.
It is predictable now. You knew the moment that LeGarrette Blount was signed last week that it was going to spell doom for Jonas Gray and that at some point he was going to come in and make an impact in the fantasy world. Maybe we weren't sure it was going to be Friday until he overslept. But at some point you realize Blount was brought in for a reason. And everybody who comes in to the Patriots organization comes in with a very defined, specific role. Blount has his to wreck our fantasy teams or to leave him on the bench. But he's going to be somebody you have to predict how they're going to game plan it. And so it's going to be tough going forward, but he's got his clear role.
All right, how about LeSean McCoy, though? He absolutely broke out against Tennessee.
Yeah, well, he did, and he took advantage of this defense that was coming in with the 31st-ranked rushing defense. They really couldn't stop him. You know, this offensive line did well based on the matchup. LeSean McCoy, he was the Shady McCoy that we've seen.
Sure.
21 touches, 130 yards. That's big production. And he's got all the, you know, the physical attributes to be able to handle it. What we're looking for when it comes to LeSean McCoy, he was drafted so high, we want to see more consistency. And so as they continue to go down, they've got some other guys that they have to face in the NFC East.
Can he keep that consistency? I'm still doubting LeSean McCoy. But great match or great play against the Titans.
And it was guaranteed by our own Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano.
That's true. Yeah. He did call that on Sunday. All right. Those just a few players who helped fantasy owners to victory on Sunday. Now let's switch over and look at the most disappointing performances of the weekend.
I told Michael Floyd, one of my trap players. Yep. So
I'll zero points for Mike. I mean, zero though?
Yeah, I called it. Zero? I called it. I said zero.
And then how about your boy, Frank Gore?
Frank Gore, that helps
that hurts.
You know who scored? Los Hag.
That's true. That's a very good point. DeSean Jackson, I thought, was a little bit of a surprise as well. I thought they were going to have to try to get him the ball, but did not true to be true to that point. All right. Noticeably absent, though, was 40-point man Jonas Gray, to your point. Also missing, new Viking Ben Tate. They had as many NFL carries as we all did.
Right.
Zero.
It was weird because I watched, you know, they were playing the Bears. I watched the game, and I'm like, who's getting all the – what are they doing, you know? Or, excuse me, the Packers game, I should say. It's like I couldn't understand what they were trying to do offensively.
How about Jeremy Maclin, though, Rank? Again, there was a lot of concern from my part when Jordan Matthews kind of stepped in and became one of the top two receivers in that scheme for Mark Sanchez. I was really worried about Jeremy Maclin's production, and – it's kind of sort of held to be true here.
No, absolutely. He's been somebody who has disappeared right in about concert to the time of when I made a huge trade for him. So I don't know if that's going to be on my shoulders or not. But, yeah, it's very clear at this point Sanchez is looking for Jordan Matthews repeatedly.
Number one, yes.
And Maclin is just going to be fighting there for his productivity. And also, if you saw this game too, they were mixing a lot of stuff to Darren Sproles. They were letting Darren Sproles run the ball. So there, you know what? There's a lot of guys there in Philadelphia who can get the ball. It's not always going to be Maclin.
Calvin Johnson off mark.
Well, this is very challenging, especially going up against a heady defense like the New England Patriots. And you knew that they were going to give a lot of different looks. And we saw that. I mean, going up against Calvin Johnson, we saw a lot of double team in this game. Yep. We saw a lot of great play too by Darrell Revis when he was on the one-on-one matchup. So
and Brandon Browner.
And Brandon Browner as well. So in the pressure that they were able to give to the quarterback just didn't give him enough time. And you're going to see that when you have a guy like Calvin Johnson. He demands a lot of attention. When you have great play in a cornerback and great defensive scheme, that usually is what's going to happen.
Brandon Marshall, also a big-time disappointment.
Yeah, but he's coming off a game where he had two touchdowns the previous week. And sometimes these matchups just happen. I know Tampa Bay was really fired up for this game because it was Lovie Smith's return to Chicago. So they put out a pretty good effort. And, you know, the Bears kind of, you know, they just kind of struggled a little bit offensively. But in the second half, they were doing really well defensively, which was giving them a lot of short fields, which meant that they were going to give the ball to Matt Forte and let him carry it home for him. So that's basically what happened. It's just a little bit of an aberration. This week they got the Lions. They'll be throwing it a little bit more.
There you go. Frank Gore, another guy, as we mentioned before, big-time disappointment against a pretty soft Washington defense.
Yeah, this one right here was really disappointing because I had Frank Gore. I decided to play Frank Gore over LeGarrette Blount.
Oh!
Play him over Alfred Morris.
No!
It was Alfred Morris and LeGarrette Blount who had the bigger games.
Yeah.
But I will say this, the emergence of Carlos Hyde, we're starting to see Jim Harbaugh really feature him in a lot of areas where you know that it's supposed to be for Frank Gore. So he's losing carries to Carlos Hyde. So if you do own Frank Gore and Carlos Hyde somehow is still available, I'd say go pick him up if you gave up on him like I did.
You know, I'll say this too. Late in the game, it seemed as if Harbaugh trusted Carlos Hyde more.
He did. Well, because he had the one fumble. Frank Gore did have the one fumble to where.
Don't get mad.
No, I'm just saying. No, that's why.
That's a clear fantasy holder who had Frank Gore watching Los Hyde score coming out. But he did it on the Monday night game against St. Louis, and next year I feel at some point Los Hyde is going to be talked about.
Will be
as
the
guy
feature back.
Possibly sneaking into the first round.
Mm-hmm. All right,
possibly.
Still to come, if you're looking for some roster help, as we steam ahead towards the fantasy playoffs, you've come to the right place. We're helping you decide who to pick and who to drop after Week 12's action. And we've got even more Monday night action to get you ready for. We're headed to the Bayou for our fantasy preview for the Saints and Ravens next.
The Bayou or the Bayou?
Bayou!
Coming up on NFL Fantasy Live, are you ready? It's almost time for the Monday Night Football main event. We got a full preview of the Ravens and Saints clash straight ahead. And it was a beautiful day in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. However, Richard Rogers and a cast of other unlikely characters may have spoiled your Sunday. Strike up the band because that helps no one is on the way. And the 2014 Fantasy Yearbook is out, and it's time to flip right to the superlative second section. Which player will most likely ruin your fantasy season? Stick around. This is NFL Fantasy Live.
looks the other way, throwing, complete, diving for the pylon, touchdown.
Torrey Smith, touchdown.
Touchdown, Mark Ingram.
Steve Smith, Sr.
Little floater, touchdown.
Time to preview the main event here on NFL Fantasy Live, presented by Bose. The Ravens and Saints in the official Monday night game for Week 12 Monday Night Football. We'll start with the home team, guys. Fabs, what do you expect from Drew Brees now that his favorite receiver there, Brandon Cooks, is done for the season on IR?
Well, it's in New Orleans, right? And when he's at home, he's very good. And honestly, if you look at the numbers, the Baltimore Ravens have not been great against the pass this year. In fact, they have allowed 300-plus passing yards in three of their last four road games. Brees, 18-plus fantasy points in four of his last five games overall. So I'm taking the boys in black and Drew Brees.
Yeah, okay.
So you said the Ravens haven't been great against the pass, Akbar. Right. So what does this mean for Kenny Stills tonight?
Well, this is going to be the Kenny Stills we saw in college. This is going to be the Kenny Stills we've seen that had big games. This is going to be a very good Kenny Stills on Monday night. You talk about the Monday night lights, that gives you an extra boost of adrenaline. But going up against this secondary group, the reason why this defense has struggled is that they've gone through a combination of different guys in that secondary group. Of course, they've done the mix and match, but look, it hasn't worked out for them. They haven't been very good. And if there's anybody who can read a defense like an open book, it's Drew Brees. So what does that mean if he's reading it like an open book? He knows where the open pages are. He knows where there's a break in the paragraph, and the break in their defense is going to be in their zone coverage. Kenny Still will fill that void. He'll stretch this defense. He's going to score at least two touchdowns in this game. You better play him.
I love it. We better play him. Mark Ingram is at 100-plus rush yards in three of his last four, Adam Rank. Does he make that four or five?
He could certainly do that, although this is going to be a tougher matchup than a lot of people are into. Although you do anticipate the Ravens being pretty good against the ground. The thing that's been scaring me is that he hasn't gotten to the end zone in back-to-back games, and this is going to be a tough chore for him to get in against the Ravens, who have been very tough. They've allowed three rushing touchdowns to running backs this season. That is the second lowest total in the NFL right now.
That
so
helps
he's
no
gonna
one.
Yeah, that would help absolutely no one. But again, I'm trying to be positive because at this point on Monday, you're playing the guy regardless. So yes, he could break through this week and have, you know what? He's going against me in my league of record, so that guarantees him a touchdown.
Yeah, all right, positive Polly. Let's see what you gave him here.
15.9, is that good enough for you?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
All right.
And I like the numbers I see for Jimmy Graham there and Drew Brees.
I'm higher on Jimmy Graham. I'm higher on Kenny Stills. And I think that's about it.
Jimmy Graham has at least one touchdown in his last six games on Monday night. So he's almost a guarantee to score a touchdown.
Of course.
He's guaranteed.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let's go to the Ravens side of things. And they have this running back, Justin Forsett. He's pretty darn good.
I heard about him.
He is in the Fantasy Player of the Year conversation, averaging 5.4 yards per rush, most in the NFL.
And if not for Fantasy MVP, I mean, you're talking about the best waiver wire pickup in fantasy football this season because the running back position has been an absolute mess. And to get a guy like Forsett off the waiver wire, a top 10 fantasy running back, that's like finding gold, Jerry. It's absolute gold. And you start them week in and week out. The Saints have allowed an average of over 20 fantasy points per game to running backs this season as well. So not only has Forsett produced for your fantasy team, he's also got a great matchup in New Orleans.
I'm very happy for him as a traveling guy. Guy who's gone from team to team. He's found a place. He's found home.
Cal running backs.
Yep. All right. How about Torrey Smith, Adam? Three receiving tees in his last two road games. You think he'll get one tonight?
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to say he's going to have a pretty good game because, as you see, he scored at least 12 fantasy points in four of his last five. And this comes on the heels of an opening stretch of the season where we thought that this guy might not be able to produce. In the early part of the season, it was all Steve Smith as Torrey was just running the nine route, not doing a whole lot fantasy-wise, but over the last month or so, he's really kicked it into gear. So I expect him to have a pretty good game this week against the Saints, who give up a lot of fantasy points to receivers. So if you're starting him, again, feel very comfortable with him.
The Saints do not give up a lot of fantasy points to tight ends, though, Akbar. So what does this mean for Owen Daniels?
Well, that means that those linebackers and the safeties are doing a very good job as far as defending the tight ends. That's what that typically means, that they know how to scheme around them. They can use a combination of the safeties and linebackers to bracket the tight end because of the potency of this tight end in this offense. But Joe Flacco's going to look to Owen Daniels a ton. He's going to be looking to help him move the chain. Owen Daniels, to me, is probably one of their best weapons just because of his versatility. So look for Owen Daniels to kind of break that trend against tight ends for the New Orleans Saints.
All right, we might have another tight end that you could start tonight if you have one, but that's a tease because that's coming up in a second.
All right.
First, the Baltimore Ravens projections here. And Adam, you got 20 there for Flacco, Akbar.
We're all digging for Seth, that's for sure.
Yeah, you
see,
are.
I'm actually starting him in my league
Adam,
of record.
22.4.
I've got a tough matchup tonight. I got to win this one.
Listen, so. it's not all about you, though, right?
Is it
we
got
to get to what the people want. So two Monday night games tonight, Jets-Bills at 7 p.m. Eastern and Ravens-Saints at 8:30 Eastern. So let's get some potential sleepers in those two. And I understand you have a tight end we should pay attention to.
I do have a tight end you should pay attention to, and his name is Scott Chandler, because if you look at his history against the New York Jets, it's pretty good. We're not talking about a lot of yardage here, but he has scored 3 touchdowns in his last 4 games against the men in green.
Yeah, so he plays up for those divisional games. Akbar, who do you have your eye on?
Well, you remember when I was telling you guys about the fact that this secondary group for the Baltimore Ravens, they've done a lot of different combination rotating guys. Well, look, with Brandon Cooks out, you have to have another wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Can't just be all Kenny Stills. I'm looking at Marcus Colston, who hasn't been the Marcus Colston we've been accustomed to. Marcus Colston is the sleeper here.
But it makes sense with that situation, and you have another wide receiver you like.
Well, you know, brother, Detroit has also had a special place in the heart.
Are you going to rip your shirt off?
Of Hulkamaniacs everywhere, so I'm going Chris Hogan, brother. He's going to bring the noise at the same place where I lifted Andre the Giant over my... Well, actually, that was the Pontiac
Silverdome. Is this your Hulk Hogan mustache?
Yes, you're finally getting it.
You need a lot more hair right here.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Is this really a job? Do we get paid to do this? I just are we adults? In this world, we have fun, that's for sure. Nothing can be said to be certain except death, taxes, and a cast of characters that steal precious fantasy points from the stars in your lineup on Sundays. That helps no one is on the way. This is NFL Fantasy Lifestyle. Here. 2015 Pro Bowl balloting is now open. It's fantasy football for real. Vote now for the best players at every position, regardless of conference, either online or on your mobile device at NFL.com/Pro Bowl ballot. Time now, though, for Groom Your Lineup, presented by Head & Shoulders. You know the drill by now. Each week, we comb through NFL.com's Fantasy Genius tool to find questions asked by real fans looking to groom their lineup. So if you have a question for us, just go to NFL.com/genius. Okay, our first question on the docket here is for you, Fabs, a tough one. Who should I add? LeGarrette Blount, who returned nicely into that Patriots backfield, or the hero from Thursday night, Latavius Murray, who seemed to pass out both the vets in that backfield, earning the starting
job. I'm going
job.
With the upside, and I'm going to go with Latavius Murray.
Nice.
Darren McFadden passed his prime. Maurice Jones-Drew, we love him because he plays fantasy football, but sorry, passed his prime. And Murray had 4 carries.
Four.
2 of them for touchdowns against a team that came in not allowing a rushing touchdown. There is tons and boatloads of upside. He is definitely the guy that I am picking up. But keep tabs on his status because he did have the concussion.
He has 10 days to recover from the concussion.
Absolutely. And if you remember, a couple years ago, I told you about Latavius Murray. I saw him at UCF, and I've watched him through his career. This kid is exciting. When he gets that opportunity, he'll ball out again.
He's a fast Brandon Jacobs. He's big, he runs a 4.440.
Oh, I remember when Brandon Jacobs was good on the Giants. All right, we miss him. Which struggling quarterback would you drop, Akbar? Huh? RG3 or Jay Cutler? I thought they were both going to have big years this year.
This one is easy. It's RG3. Yeah. RG3 is done. I mean, he does not look like he has the same swag. There used to be a time when he threw the ball and he did this thing with his offhand like he was like George Jefferson or something like that. That was that, like, you knew he was feeling himself and was feeling real cool. But he doesn't do that anymore. He's just getting sacked.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot of protection. And I have to say, it's not all RG3. That offensive line, they struggle protecting RG3. He's taking those hits, but he just doesn't have that confidence anymore. You see his fantasy production. He scored less than 15 fantasy points in every game this year. He hasn't. He's been going this way. At least with Jay Cutler, there's an up and down roller coaster. You think, well, maybe based on matchup. I don't even care what the matchup is.
Yeah.
RG3 is not playing
well. So RG3 is not moving on up?
No.
He's got the Colts this week. 3.34. 24 fantasy points is enough for you from a quarterback?
I should leave.
That's all you. Which pass catcher should owners pick up? Timothy Wright there in New England or Jarvis Landry, who's been lighting it up in Miami?
You know, I really like Jarvis Landry. You got to go with the guy, I think, that's scored four touchdowns in four games. Look, Timothy Wright, a nice player as well, but too many zeros, too many times. Mm-hmm. He's too up and down for me. Jarvis Landry, a guy who, as you can see from these highlights, look, Ryan Tannehill trusts him inside. Mm-hmm. Landry's not going to burn you with speed, but I tell you what, he's a crisp route runner. And again, in Bill Lazor's offense, they seem to be looking for him, especially around the goal line.
And you know who they play next week?
Who's that?
Jets.
And the reason why they're looking for him in Bill Lazor, he wants to keep everything in front of Tannehill. Not the deep ones. Those intermediate routes is where he wants to use that offense to push the chain.
Yeah, and he put 17 on the board there against them last week. That was Groom Your Lineup, presented by Head & Shoulders, the Broncos. Now it's time for the most interactive segment in all of fantasy football. Adam Rank counting down the scores. That helped no one.
All right, thanks, Molly. That's right. Each week we take a look back at those unheard-of players who robbed precious fantasy points from the guys we actually started on Sunday. It's a tearjerker from some curtain jerkers in a segment we like to call...
That Helps No One!
To the video! And we start in Philadelphia. Sean Green rumbling in because Ken Whisenhunt has determined that Bishop Sankey will not give us any fantasy points this season. Sean Green, that's right. Fantasy owners, green with envy.
No.
How about this? Soylent Green is wasted fantasy points.
No?
All right. For everybody in sector 2814.
That helps no one.
Let's stay here. Earlier this season,
really,
we wondered, is there anybody who could stop Jeremy Maclin?
Alto.
There is. Mark Sanchez. Here is the perfect pass to James Casey. Yes, why would you want to throw it to Maclin or your BFF Jordan Matthews when you can thread the needle through triple coverage right there to James Casey. Third catch of the year, second touchdown of the year, and the second time we said
that helps no one.
I like Philly. Let's stay here. You know my old saying, garbage time points are still points. There's a chance. Bishop Sankey, but wait, does he have dreadlocks?
No,
that would be a negative.
Great Caesar's ghost. It's Dexter McCluster.
He doesn't play for the Chiefs. He was a Pro Bowler last year.
Was he? Well, nice work you did. You're going to go far, kid. And
that helps no one.
Atlanta. Matt Ryan hooked up with Julio Jones earlier in the game. Can he do it again?
Yes.
No.
Steven Jackson, right?
Oh, no. Jaquizz Rodgers. In other words, he failed the quiz. Actually, what I said there was one of the most insanely idiotic things I've ever said. I award myself no points, and may God have mercy on my soul, because
that helps no one.
Minnesota.
Making the show.
Teddy Bridgewater, is today the day we could see Cordero Patterson? Nope. Have you not been following along all season? There is no CP touchdown. Instead, it's Chuck Johnson, a guy the Browns couldn't play at receiver because...
Whoa. Cut the music. That's not true. It actually helped me because didn't you listen to the show on Sunday? To the video! Listen, I'm going to let my man Jerry O'Connell make my first danger zone pick.
That guy on the Vikings, who's that receiver?
Charles Johnson.
Jennings and one other receiver.
Cordero Patterson.
Yeah.
He's not good. Not very good. Sorry, Jerry. I just want to play football. All right, listen, in between his bread fight against Matt Money Smith on our show Friday, the man famously known as Kush from Jerry Maguire called out second-year receiver Charles Johnson. He's a straight-up athlete.
What?
Last week, Charles had 87 yards. This week against Green Bay, you figure they got a pass. He could be in line for a pretty nice day as well. So, yes, that helped me.
Do you know what we're doing here? Are you through?
I am.
Let's go back to the video! Because that helps no one. San Diego, home of the San Diego Superchargers. Sedmon Bailey. I was going to give you an opportunity for a bad Oprah joke, but no. Flag on the play. St. Louis is cheating. That's what you get, cheat. Oh, wait. Sean Hill's like, nope. I'm going to make the big board this week.
Oprah. That's Oprah-like. You get a touchdown. You get a touchdown. Everybody gets a touchdown.
Not Trey Mason, though.
To that, I say...
That helps no one! Thanks to Alex C. Wilk for
tweeting
the show.
Denver, everybody is scoring touchdowns. Wait, not you, Lamar Miller.
Wait till you
everybody else, except for Lamar Miller, because
Danny Thomas is the one who barges in there.
He's still in the NFL.
Make room for Daddy, because here he is with the fantasy touchdown.
Hello, Daddy.
Right there. Sorry, some of these references are only for my amusement, because
you jumped the gun.
Minnesota, the land of 1,000 THNOs. John Kuhn in the game. But no, he's looking. He's throwing. Wait a minute.
Is that Bubba Franks?
Literally wide open.
Richard Franks. Richard Rodgers. Richard Rodgers. Wait, Rick Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers loves his 80s music. He found a way to Rickroll us. Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. Never gonna run around and desert you.
Look at the guy's hair.
I just wanna tell you that helps no one. I'm never gonna let you down. I just wanna tell you that helps no one.
Teddy Bridgewater. One of your top That Helps No One All-Stars in air quotes there. 19.6 points for him. Just 1% started. Zach Mettenberger, another danger zone player. My goodness, I'm on fire with danger zone. 19.6 for him as well. 0.2% started. Cole Beasley, Lewis Murphy, Daniel Thomas, you saw.
Jarvis
and Cooper
Landry shouldn't be on
Hellfell.
That list anymore.
Jarvis Landry
should not be on that list.
You're absolutely right. Now remember, if you want to see your tweets featured on the show, use the hashtag That Helps No One when you see a fantasy score that
helps no one.
Thank you, Molly.
You're the best. Will?
Why?
I don't think that I should. Now, this is the part of the show. We add somebody to the Wall of Fame. If I may have a drum roll, please. The Week 12 winner of That Helps No One. Danny Thomas. You know, I wanted to do the Rick roll. He goes right there. I would have done, but Aaron Rodgers technically helped people.
Can you even post that up there properly?
I really can't.
Wow.
You could read the bump for me, but I guess I'll come back. We're coming back with our fantasy postseason superlatives when NFL Fantasy Live continues, so stick around.
Never going
to
let you down.
This is
my tribute to T.Y. Hilton right here. And welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live. With the end of the fantasy regular season upon us, it's time to break out the 2014 fantasy yearbook. Obviously, the best part of any yearbook has to be the superlative section.
Yes.
Like, who is most likely to be a fantasy analyst? That would be Mr. Fabiano.
I had best physique in high school, just so you know. Just saying.
Okay, there you go.
So awkward.
Who is most likely to secure you a fantasy playoff spot, Fabs?
Josh Gordon, because Josh Gordon is coming off a huge game, and we all know that last year he was the number one wide receiver in fantasy football. He's got the Bills this week. He is an unbelievably athletic receiver who's going to see targets week in and week out. First game back.
16 targets.
16 targets.
Like crazy.
Okay.
All right, Mr. That Helps No One.
What I was voted.
You're the perfect man to ask this question. Who is most likely to ruin your fantasy season?
I'm going to go with Matthew Stafford, because if you look at him, he's got great matchups going out in the fantasy playoffs to make you think, I'm going to start this guy, and then he will end up ruining you. I would find somebody else. I would even go after Ryan Tannehill, who's been playing much better as of late.
Yeah, he's been putting up some points. Akbar, week 13 is make or break for many fantasy teams.
Yep.
So who is the most practical bench player that you're going to start?
Well, there's a combination. So it's going to be Marcus Wheaton, because big arm in Ben Roethlisberger times the poor secondary group for the New Orleans Saints means big points for Marcus Wheaton. You see how I did that there? I was very studious in school. So, you know, I was in honors. And that's like an honors formula
this
right there.
Just
Marcus Wheaton is going to be the guy that you're going to.
All braggadocio from you in this segment.
I was valedictorian.
That's a pretty good word, by the way. By the way, with all this yearbook talk, we went into the archives and dug up this little beauty. Take a look at this.
Who is this? What?
That would
who
be
is that?
A young
what?
Michael Fabiano.
What is that? You have a mullet mallet. What is that?
And you know what? I still listen to the same music now that I did back then.
Wow, look at your lapel and your tie.
Oh, that is pretty good. All right, listen, for more fantasy superlatives, be sure to visit NFLnow.com and check out NFL Now on your connected TV device or by downloading the app for free on your phone or tablet. But before we get out of here, let's take a look at March to 1100.
Hashtag 1099.
No, stop it, you.
1099.5.
All right, so of course I promised everybody that I'd wear high heels if, you know, DeAndre Hopkins didn't get to 1100.
Where are we?
We had a setback in March to 1100. We had a setback. Just 39 yards for DeAndre Hopkins. Now projected at 1168. He was above 1200 last week, now dropping down
into that very dangerous 1,100 area.
Oh, boy, it's getting too close. But thankfully, Ryan Fitzpatrick is back to get that number lower.
So
no targets this week.
How dare you?
Are you going to be comfortable in heels?
I've been doing calf lifts, so.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have DeAndre Hopkins sign the pumps for you in advance. I'm going to have him sign in advance so that way you can be ready to wear it on the last show.
Why are you creating these crazy scenarios?
DeAndre, if you're watching, please sign those pumps for me. We'll talk.
Don't you think he wants to have James win?
No, he wants to see. He wants to be entertained. He's a man. He wants to be entertained.
Yeah. What is wrong with you guys?
He wants to be entertained.
That is not entertaining. That's got to happen.
1099 is not kosher.
A little creepy.
Not
cool. I think, hashtag 1099. Use it today. That's whenever you're interacting, I will not answer your fantasy question unless you use hashtag 1099.
For Adam Rank, I'm Barbara B. Miller, and Michael Fabian. I'm James Coe. We are out of here for today, but tune in tomorrow for a full recap of the two Monday Night Football matchups. NFL Fantasy Live returns at 4 p.m. Eastern on NFL Now.